This is Tools of the Podcast Trade, where you can learn about the tools and resources you can use to start and grow your podcast. Tune in each week as we talk about the help you need to remove the mystery from podcasting so you can become a successful podcaster that can reach your audience where they are. Jonathan Green is an entrepreneur and author of ChatGPT Profits, the Blueprint to Becoming a Millionaire Using Artificial Intelligence. He's also the host of Serve No Master. And I'm going to let you explain the rest to me, Jonathan. Welcome to Tools of the Podcast Trade.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, sure. All right. Usually what I do is I ask my guests before I ask you to tell us what you do. Tell us, who is Jonathan Green?
Sure. I'm someone who never thought I'd be an entrepreneur. I always grew up thinking what I want is a nice, secure job with job security where I don't have to worry about anything else. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that wasn't my fate. I got my dream job at 29 and realized it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. It's that be careful what you wish for. At 29, yeah. I was at the highest in my career. There was one promotion possible in the next 50 years, and that's when my boss died. I have like a 1 in 10 chance of getting that job. And I realized that I hated it. We think what we want because everyone tells us. And I finally realized I don't want what everyone else tells me. So my journey really is one of finally realizing it's okay to do what you want, even when people don't understand it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Nice to get a little bit of personal insight. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Sure. So I'm going to start off the bat because I started to read the title of your book, but I didn't finish on purpose. Serve, sure. You're the host of Serve No Master. I'm talking about your podcast, sorry. Mm-hmm. Serve No Master, escape the 9-to-5, fire your boss, achieve financial freedom. There's a lot there. Tell yes. me, you. I think you hinted at what started this, but tell us more.
Sure. So I thought it was my dream job, and I was already thinking, how long do I have to stay here until I can quit and pay off my student loans? And I was doing all the math every single day because when you work for a large organization, whether it's the government or in my case, it was a university, there's a massive amount of slow roll, which is where everyone looks like they're working, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to do that. So they would give me a task like, this will take you 6 months. And I was done in 2 hours. And I was like, I have no idea how to stretch 2 hours into thousands. I don't have that skill. That's a very specific skill set that bureaucrats and middle management have that I don't have. And I kept taking on extra projects. I was about 2 years ahead in my work and I didn't know what to do. So I would take every day 6 hour walks because I had literally nothing to do. And there was also a lot of like infighting in politics. Like they offered someone else my job and she turned it down. And then when I took the job, she got really mad that they gave me a chair. And I said, well, the office didn't have a chair. They didn't give me a new chair. They went from 0 to 1, not chair to upgrade. Same thing when they gave me a computer. It was an empty office. They put a chair, a desk, a computer, a very cheap computer and a cheap mouse in there. And I would always get this passive aggressive comments about stuff that just came with the job that this person had turned down. So I was stuck in a place. I didn't know what to do. It didn't match my personality or my skill set. And then I signed a lease on a new apartment. I bought a new car. And the next Monday I came in and they fired me. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I think I would have never actually made the jump to full-time entrepreneur, even though I was meant to be. Like when I look back at my history, I realize I was always trying to start my own businesses. So it really freed me at the exact right time. And that really began my journey. And as I was driving home in that blizzard, thinking if I crash, that would be so ironic. Fired, new car, the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah.
And I realized that our boss has so much power. They don't just have the power to take away your job for a little while. They can devastate you. I know people who lost 6- and 7-figure jobs 10 years ago and still haven't been able to get a similar job back. One of my friends went from a 4-bedroom mansion, Hummer, his wife is in a top of the line Mercedes, and then they moved to a 1-bedroom studio apartment because there's nothing you can do. He wasn't even fired for cause. They just said, we're firing 1 out of 10 people, a decimation. 1 out of 10 of you is gone and you're the one we've randomly picked. And that's the worst part of it is that it's not your fault. Most of the time when you get fired, it's not your fault. Very rarely after you're 30, is it your fault, right? In your 20s, sure. You miss a couple of days, you show up late, but we stop doing that by 30 and we all get fired. How many people have lost their jobs at really big companies because the CEO was messing around or cooking the books or doing something weird or investing in cryptocurrency? And so when you lose your job, you lose your income. You lose your ability to pay for your kids to go to a good school. You lose your ability to live in a safer neighborhood. You lose your ability to pay for good doctors, all these other things. So actually your boss has the ability to hurt your kids, not just you.
Yeah. And
that's too much power. So I don't tell everyone you have to quit your job, but you need to be ready. I've been telling this to everyone for 10 years now. And what happened over the last few years, everyone found out that when it's the rich people or the poor people, well, the poor people aren't allowed to work. Walmart can stay open because it's a critical business, but a mom and pop that supports your family, that's not important. They're going to shut you down.
And that's right.
Who has to keep, the landlord has to keep getting paid, but you're not allowed to run the business that pays the landlord. So everyone at the bottom always gets punished the most. So you need to have a reserve. Most people in America are $500 emergency away from financial devastation. So the first thing I teach people is to just make an extra $100 a month. Because for most Americans, 50 or 60 Americans, that's a game changer. If you can get an extra $100 a month, then you get to an extra 500, then you get to an extra 1,000. That completely changes your life. Now, instead of increasing debt, you can decrease your debt and you have a level of freedom. So that's really, when I say serve no master, that's what I mean, is that you have to be in charge of your own destiny. If you put someone else in charge of your own destiny, you're not going to like the results.
Absolutely. And I totally agree. I remember once standing up, listening to a couple of ladies talking, arguing with a manager because we had lost our bonus. And after about half an hour listening to the argument, I said, why am I, a middle-aged woman, letting somebody decide how much I earn? So yeah, I can totally agree. I can totally relate to, but why a podcast? Because this is a podcast about podcasting. I mean, you wrote a book.
Sure.
Why didn't you write a book instead? Why a podcast?
Well, I've written over 300 books, so I'm very prolific at writing, but I started a podcast as a way to first engage my audience in between books and products. So I said, oh, this is a way to make a lot of content quickly. And for the first about 200 episodes, it was just me. I was putting out 5 episodes a week for a long time until I got sick and I had to pivot to, I had to stop it for a while, and now I do once a week with interviews. It allows me to meet other people, to connect with people like you and kind of expand my network. I live on a small island in the middle of nowhere, so I don't meet other entrepreneurs very often because I live very, very remotely.
Okay. So
it allows me to connect with other people. And it's a great way to get content without 100% of it relying on you.
Okay. All right. So you wrote a book about ChatGPT, the darling of the ages, I suppose, right? We were using AI before, but all of a sudden ChatGPT came and take up the oxygen in the room, so to speak. So tell us about this book. Why should every entrepreneur start using AI tools?
Over the next 2 or 3 years, there's going to be a culling. And the people who don't learn to use AI are going to go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to warn people now because it's going to happen in every sector. In the same way that people thought, if you learn how to use math with the calculator, you won't really learn how to use math in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. There was professors saying, any kid who learns with the calculator doesn't really know math.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you imagine hiring an accountant that goes, yeah, I don't do calculators. I do it by hand. Nobody would hire them, right?
Yeah.
And in the same way, you're going to go, oh, I don't use AI. Imagine you have 2 employees. One can do 100 tasks a day with AI, and the other can do 5 without AI. Of course, you're going to fire them.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked to a lot of my friends who run large teams. They are training all of their VAs and team how to use AI because it makes them more efficient rather than firing them. But the ones who don't learn it, they're not going to be there very long. And that's really the future. It doesn't really matter what sector in.
Yeah.
AI is really in an arms race right now. There's a massive AI coming out from Twitter. There's a massive AI coming out from Google. There's one from Facebook. There's a massive open source arms race. AIs are going to become ubiquitous. And the longer you wait to learn how to use them, the faster everything's going to pass you by. So I noticed there's some really big books on ChatGPT, and I read a couple of them and I realized they were really bad. They were clearly written by ChatGPT. The information in them was very dangerous because if you put in the wrong prompt, you'll get a bad result.
Right.
And that bothered me. I said, oh, I've made a lot of money. ChatGPT is a major part of my business. I use it 5 days a week, every single day. So I could do 5 days of work in 4 days using ChatGPT. Very important part of my business. So I realize that I have to put something out there that's practical. So in the book, what I do that no one else does is every time ChatGPT is talking, it's in italics. You know, I'm not trying to pretend. And every time I'm prompting, writing something, ChatGPT is in bold. In the same way with my narrator, who's amazing, she uses three different accents. So there's no confusion. So you know which part to copy and paste. Mm-hmm. That's very important. And I'm really not interested in the cool part of AI. People are always talking about, oh, it can do this and can do that, but it's not useful. I don't care about things that are not useful. I don't care if it can make a movie that nobody wants to watch or an image that looks weird. I only care if it's useful for my business. I really focus on practicality. Okay. So the book is filled with specific copy and paste prompts, and it has the responses I receive. So you can know, oh, if I put this in, this is what I'll get out. I don't want to give you like 10,000 prompts and you don't know what's going to happen. Because mathematically, it would take you a month to test each prompt, which no one will do, and that's useless. So I either give you less prompts that absolutely work than a bunch of prompts that you have no idea.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So basically, you said it's the blueprint to becoming a millionaire using artificial intelligence. So basically, business owners, entrepreneurs can use it to enhance their business. Become more efficient, so to speak. Give us two tips for how a podcaster could use AI, ChatGPT, whatever, to enhance their podcasting.
Sure. Here's the first one you can do. You can use AI to write an outreach email to each particular person you want to invite onto your show. And if you want to get on a show, you can have it write a custom email based on that person's areas of expertise, past episodes, all of those things. So it doesn't seem like a copy and paste email.
Mm-hmm. So
that's one of the fastest ways to use it to improve the quality of your outreach, because we're all tired of getting messages from people that send the same message to everyone, don't care what our show is about, whatever, right? On both sides of it, even as a guest and as a host, it's very hard for me to kind of get my message across.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first way. The second thing is, there's a secret to getting very good at ChatGPT. The secret is, always ask before you tell. So instead of saying, ChatGPT, do this. If you just say, ChatGPT, I want to get better guests on my podcast. How can I do that? What information do you need for me to do that? And it will ask a bunch of questions. And as you answer them, it will start to give you really good responses. So that's a very important part of the process that a lot of us skip. We just go, ChatGPT, write an email for this. But if you don't tell it, you don't let it tell you what it needs, you might give it the wrong information. By asking questions first, you completely bypass the garbage in, garbage out problem that 90% of people have when using computers, Google, or artificial intelligences.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I see those as practical. Now, I know we're talking about ChatGPT, but I've used Bard as well. And there are times when I don't like one over the other. So are you able to give us a comparison of the two of them? Like quickly, not, you know.
Sure. There's really several different sectors. There's Bard, there's open source, and then there's ChatGPT. What's happening right now is that every single day they're changing their algorithms. ChatGPT has actually gotten a lot worse over the last 6 months because people were using it to do very illegal things. ChatGPT originally had no gates on it, and people were asking it, how do I hack a bank and give me the code to upload to their server to break in? And it wrote the code for them. So it was actually finding security problems. So it's getting worse, because there's the conflict between freedom and stop people from doing stuff that's like really bad.
Right.
When I thought about like the limitations, I was like, oh, it won't let me write the naughty scenes of romance novels. That's the wall I ran into. I wasn't asking it to try to how to make me make a weapon or something like really bad like some people are doing. So
ironic.
That's why they're slowing down. So every day you have increasing the power and increasing the limitations to stop people when something specifically bad happens.
Yeah.
So it's constantly getting stronger and weaker. So they had no internet access, then they had internet access, then people abused that, so they took it away. So it's very tricky. It's going to get to the point where completely unlocked AIs are ubiquitous. An open source AI has already beaten ChatGPT 3.5. If you're using the free version of ChatGPT, there's a free open source AI that you can run for like $1.27 an hour, $1.27 an hour, that's just as powerful, and it's completely private, and there are versions that have no fetters. It's completely unlimited. It will do anything. ChatGPT 4 hasn't been defeated yet, but it will be, which means they have to put out ChatGPT 4.5, ChatGPT 5. Bard has to keep updating. So it's going to be, by the time this comes out, even this comes out tomorrow, which one is better changes. So every single day, a new open source AI comes out. It's almost impossible to keep up. I get an alert. I have to watch three new videos constantly happening in just a crazy speed, which is why I know they're going to get faster and faster. They're developing things that they said, oh, this will take 6 years, and they come out 3 days later.
Yeah.
These two scientists wrote a massive white paper that said no open source project will ever be able to defeat ChatGPT. 2 weeks later, someone did. They probably wish they hadn't written that paper because they look like complete idiots.
Fighting
it would never
words.
Happen. It happened 2 weeks later. It wasn't like 2 years later. So What I can tell you is that each tool works differently and is good in different ways. For a while, everyone was using the MSN search engine free one. I got that too right away, and I haven't used it in months because it's not that good. So they're going to get better and they're going to get more ubiquitous. So the best thing to do if you're getting a bad result from one, 90% chance it's the prompt. I spend several hours rewriting prompts. So I'm writing a prompt right now to get ChatGPT to give me 100 perfect Pinterest pins in a row. I've rewritten the prompt for the last day and a half until it's perfect. And then I'll probably tweak it again over the next few days. And that will go in my ChatGPT for social media book because it has to be perfect. So you have to be willing to go, oh, this didn't work. Let me tweak it. Instead of this didn't work, I guess it's broken. A lot of times it's either not asking the question first, you haven't given it the right information.
Right.
Or you sometimes hit a wall. Like last night, I was trying to get it to pull quotes from my book. And first, it kept pulling like quotes from the table of contents or from the end of the book or from its own prompts. I was like, don't use the bold or the italic sections. It didn't work. So I pulled that out, made a new PDF, and it was still pulling out just the worst quotes. So sometimes you'll hit a wall and I go, oh, I've just done something wrong. I got to start over and think about it again tomorrow. So you're going to hit walls. That's part of the process. You just have to accept that. But you also have to accept that you're going to find a way around it if you just keep thinking about it, because it can do amazing things. So they're going to go back and forth which one is better. It's totally fine to use multiple AIs. The same prompts work in both of them. It's just a matter of testing and trying and getting better and better and going, okay, this is the one I'm really good at.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks. I kind of like this discussion, because the other thing I wanted to touch on was the fact that we need to look at it as a tool, though, and not And that's the problem, is that we've been looking at it as a replacement for things we do. It's really a tool we could use to enhance what we do. Like, I'm a blogger and I'll use ChatGPT or Bard to get ideas on content. If I have an idea, I run it by them and ask them if they think it's a good idea. And they really give me good answers, or at least answers that have me thinking. So I think that's going to be my next question, is how can we better utilize these tools and not think of them as, you know, the thing that's going to solve all our problems for us?
Sure. So the first thing is that calling it an AI is a misnomer. It's not artificial intelligence. It's not even weak AI. So there's weak AI, which is like mildly sentient. There's strong AI, which is maybe it'll take over the world. It's neither of those. The best way to think of it is that it's a pretty good magic eight ball. The way ChatGPT works is it guesses what the next word should be one word at a time. It goes after the, I need a noun. Most likely noun here is dog. Then it goes, what's the best word after dog? We need a verb. That's how it thinks. So That's why if you ask it dumb questions, it gives dumb answers. If you just keep repeating yourself to ChatGPT or giving it a task that will take a long time, by the 15th or 16th prompt, it will go insane. It will start to give nonsensical things. It will forget what you're talking about. So all of these fears, it's possible that eventually we'll get to an AI that will do this, but we're very far away from it. What it really is a smart calculator. It's like a word calculator. This idea that AI is going to replace jobs. There are some jobs that will get changed. Like if you're a digital artist, you can just become a digital artist who uses artificial intelligence and image generators. Because guess what? An artist is going to get a much better result than I am. The way AI really works is you have the AI's general knowledge and your specialized knowledge. When you bring those together, that's the magic. It's like putting on a suit of armor. Armor can't do anything on its own. And you are stronger with the armor. So together, that's the real power. So when I'm working in my areas of expertise, like writing prompts and writing a book, I can get a lot of really good results. I can do better than most people. But my friend who's a copywriter, he can get better copywriting out of ChatGPT because he's combining his expert knowledge with its generalized knowledge. So what it really does is turbocharge everyone. The idea that I can do as good with ChatGPT outside my area of expertise as an actual expert, that's not true. If we both have ChatGPT, it's a great equalizer. That's where it really gives everyone opportunity. So it's much more that's the direction. And unfortunately, the people who are afraid of it and think of it as an AI or thinking of Terminator, listen, that's how I feel about drones. I hate drones. Very uncomfortable. That's different. Okay. Even toy drones, I hate them. I totally get it. But this type of AI, what it's doing, it's really just, it's like a smarter version of Siri or Bixby or whatever those different ones in your phone could be. I don't use those either. So I'm not someone who embraces every technology. Okay. I don't want something listening to me. I was a very long time before I let a phone use my fingerprint or my face. I was like, I don't want to do this. So I certainly think about privacy and I get that, but it's not really, there's not really a choice. It's like the genie's out of the bottle. It reminds me of 30 years ago when they first invented file sharing and suddenly everyone was sharing music and all these bands and record companies sued everyone to try and stop it. Has it stopped?
Not really.
Any song you want, you could get within 5 minutes, right? You would know how to find it. That's the point. My mom as well, right? My mom is almost 80. She could find anything she wants. Any song she wants, she knows how to find it for free. She knows how to use Hulu. So you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can say, oh, I hate AI. I don't want to use it. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's a fait accompli. It's here. And it's either you learn how to use it or you learn how to do a job where it doesn't matter. Like farmer or truck driver, anything where it's physical, it's not that important. But anything we're using a computer, anything we have to do a lot of thinking, it's not really optional. In the next 2 or 3 years, I think a lot of people who don't learn how to use AI are going to get fired, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I'm with you there. All right. So what is Jonathan grateful for today?
Oh, sure. My wife and 4 kids. Like, that's the best part of my life.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. All right. And how can we get in touch with you? Tell us about, you know, how to reach you and stuff.
Best place to find me is at servenomaster.com. You can find me at servenomaster.com/AI. I have a ton of cool free tools. You can find my book. I built some free software that you can use to really master image generation. It's one of the best tools out there to help you. It's absolutely free. And all of that is at servenomaster.com/AI.
Okay. All right. And then you also have the podcast, Serve No Master. And the new book is on Amazon and anywhere books are sold. Okay, cool.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So we'll put those links in the show notes. All right. Before we let you go, give us 2 to 3 tips on how a podcaster can use ChatGPT to accelerate creation process. I know you gave us a couple of tips before.
Sure.
But
I haven't read my show notes. That's number one. Number two, I haven't cleaned up my transcripts. Those are the two most useful things. And number three, I use an AI. I use a different AI to make the social clips from my video. So I take a long interview. I feed it into a tool called Vidyo, V-I-D-Y-O, and it gives me 30 shorter clips. And then I just pick the best ones. So it saves a massive amount of time by doing that.
Okay. That is awesome. Thank you. I think I'm going to use that last one. I guess I use something else right now. So yeah. All right. Thank you, Jonathan. I really appreciate you taking the time and coming to talk with us today. And I apologize for the difficulty in getting here.
That's okay.
Thank
you. That's what matters. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Any parting shots?
All I can say is that ask what it needs and then you'll get really good responses. So switch to asking instead of commanding and it will completely change the results you get.
Awesome. Thank you. And I'm going to get a copy of this book, ChatGPT Profits, the blueprint to becoming a millionaire using artificial intelligence. So thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Got questions about podcasting? Do you find yourself struggling with the tools and strategies that you know will help you launch and grow your show? Why not join the newest Podcasters Club, where you can get your questions answered by me or one of our guest experts. The link to our next meeting is below. Sign up today and don't let confusion about podcasting stop you from owning your genius. Whether you're an individual or a nonprofit, the newest Podcasters Club is where podcasters come for answers. Link below for our next meeting.